Bruce Van Dyke along with Craig Adams. It is the WEOL Morning Show.
Hello.
30th anniversary today of the release of U2's Joshua Tree. You know, for people who would get there, they would have to do kind of like a road trip, right? They'd have to get in a car. Now, Craig, I've never driven out to that part of the country, but I understand you just have straight lines and you have to have a full tank of gas, otherwise you won't be getting where you want to go. Do you disagree with that, or are you...
I completely concur.
Okay, well, I would have hoped for a little affirmation on that. I'm a little less confident this morning on it. But sure, think about that. Get in the car and just go driving.
Sure.
But what if you're a woman? When the cars first came out, were women allowed to drive? What were the thoughts of women behind the wheel? Someone's put together a book called Motor Girls, How Women Took the Wheel and Drove Boldly into the 20th Century. And that woman is Sue Macy. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
So you wrote a previous book about the bicycle, right?
Right, I did. And I wrote about how liberating the bicycle was for women in the 1890s. It led to a different kind of clothing that was more comfortable, so you wouldn't get your long skirts caught in the bicycle spokes, and gave women a little bit of freedom of movement that they really hadn't had much before then. But I had been reading about what happened when the bicycle boom was over at the turn of the century, and the automobile started taking over the roads, and I saw some indications that things weren't as liberating for women in the early years of the automobile.
So I mentioned to Bruce before we went on the air that on my father's side of the family, I had 8 aunts, and growing up, only one of them drove. And that wasn't that long ago, and a lot of women didn't even get behind the wheel. And now we're talking, you're looking at a period 100 years ago. What was that like?
Well, there was definite feeling that driving wasn't appropriate for women because it was a very dirty physical affair. In the early days, gasoline-powered cars especially required you to crank them before they could start, and that meant sitting or standing in front of the car, and the roads were usually not paved and often muddy if it had rained. And cranking this big crank, which sometimes recoiled and knocked you to the ground, so it was very athletic. And also, some people thought women didn't have the concentration to be able to drive. What if you were approaching an accident and you had to make quick decisions? I mean, people actually wrote articles about how women weren't equipped to deal with these things because they didn't play baseball. Because they said that if you played baseball, you were used to checking the runners and looking at the batter and following the ball, and it required a lot of different types of concentration at the same time. And they felt that, you know, women didn't do that. They didn't think about the fact that women might be watching 3 children run around the house at the same time. But there was a lot of negative feeling about women and cars.
Look, I can't handle more than one burner going on the stove at one time, so I can't. I'm in total agreement with what you're talking about there. You have a lot of great pictures in this book. Women in hats, driving in cars, having a good time. Where did those pictures come from?
Well, the Detroit Public Library has a wonderful automotive history collection, and unlike a lot of archives, they have a lot of photos of women, and that was fantastic, a great source. I also found a lot of private collectors. There's a fellow who collects license plates from the entire century, and he was nice enough to let us use one of his. The Library of Congress has photos. I did a lot of photo research, and that helped inform what I was writing about, because if you saw a woman changing a tire in 1908, then you knew that women actually did that kind of thing, even though the feeling was that that was not feminine.
Go ahead.
Well, Sue, was there a time or a flashpoint when attitudes changed?
Yes, actually, World War I changed everything. During the war, women were actually recruited to drive, both on the home front and overseas. Overseas, a lot of women volunteered to drive ambulances. Even before the United States entered the war in 1917, women were volunteering to go over to France and Belgium and drive ambulances under the most horrific circumstances. So that proved that they knew what they were doing. They also learned mechanics because they had to fix their ambulances if things went wrong. And on the home front, they were driving supplies to bases. They were driving injured soldiers home when they landed in New York or elsewhere from ships. They would drive them to hospitals and take them out for to church, to ball games, whatever. So suddenly women were seen as essential drivers. And right after that, the influenza epidemic, which swept the world, these women were still driving people to the hospital. They were driving them to morgues after they died, and all for free. These women during World War I proved themselves under, you know, very difficult circumstances.
We're talking today with Sue Macy, the book from National Geographic called Motor Girls, How Women Took the Wheel and Drove Boldly into the 20th Century. Talk about maybe some of the women featured in this book, names from the past who are sort of pioneers in the world of female motoring, I guess.
Yeah, well, one woman that I identify with, because she came from Hackensack, New Jersey, and I live in Englewood, which is two towns over, was Alice Ramsey, who was the first woman to drive across the country. And she did that in 1909. She represented the Maxwell motor car, and they provided her with a car. And all along the way, their dealerships provided her with parts if she needed to repair things. But the stipulation was that she would do all the driving herself and she would make all the repairs herself. And since most of the roads weren't paved at this point, that included changing 11 tires and getting the car pulled out of mud occasionally by horses and buggies because they were the ones who could deal with the mud. And so it took her 60 days, but 18 of those days were just waiting for the conditions to clear. So she was one motor girl. There were also some early women automobile racers. In the beginning, racing was open to women, but after about a decade, the organization, which is the AAA, which at that time regulated racing, decided to outlaw women because they were worried that there were occasionally accidents, deadly accidents in road races, and they were worried that a woman would get killed and that would just turn everybody off of the sport. That never happened, but Joan Newton Cuneo was one of the first women racers in the United States, and she won time trials and road races, and she was quite an amazing woman.
Speaking of women who race, you have a foreword from Danica Patrick. Tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Well, I was so happy that she was willing to write that, and my publisher, National Geographic, reached out to her people, and she was very willing. You know, she's very aware of her place as a pioneer, one of the few female racers today. There are more and more, but she's one of the most successful, certainly. And we were really happy to have her write about her experiences starting out and also how her parents never limited her. And I think that's a strand throughout the book. These women who raced, you know, they were able to do it because somebody was supporting them.
I like the different things you have throughout her, not just relating to women, but just sort of descriptions of, you know, the attire, what you needed to wear. But this one from Mind Your Manners, which you read, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, all this still applies today. You know, especially the one that says, act responsibly. A person who should run over or into another without stopping to inquire about the victim and to offer assistance cannot expect to be considered a gentleman. Such ruffianly conduct is unfortunately not uncommon. Of course, not much has changed, I guess, today, but
Well, I mean, the manners were amazing. I mean, the fact that if you chose to take people out in your automobile, you were responsible for their meals while you were driving them because you were the host of the party, pretty much.
Okay.
So I loved looking at the etiquette books of the day, and there were so many of them. I mean, today there aren't as many. I guess people aren't as concerned about being polite.
Yep. Well, the book, again, is called Motor Girls. It's published by National Geographic, How Women Took the Wheel and Drove Boldly into the 20th Century. Sue Macy, our guest this morning. Sue, appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing it with us this morning.